Blog Talk Radio.
Pastor, I can't hear you at all. Can you hear me?
I want to apologize. Thanks for the info. I recognize you all wasn't hearing me, so you're going to hear this song over again.
You were a little man. You never knew. You don't know the things you knew. You never knew. And you were a song. But I heard his voice say, here's a pain. It is not your fault. Failure. It is not your fault.
Attention. I didn't realize that the studio was on mute. So thank you so much for bringing that to my attention, because our portion is to have good news. Christ, called by the will of God, to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We truly have to have each and every one of you all. We're going to ask Evangelist Sharon to she would give us a word of prayer, and then we'll get into the review. The review this week, we're talking about, first of all, living in this new and living way. And part of that new and living way is being our portion this week is being restored. And we're talking about restoration, being restored, what it means. We want to ask Evangelist Sharon to give us a word of prayer, and then we'll get into it. Amen.
Good afternoon, Pastor Beasley. Good afternoon, Pastor Bob. And good afternoon to all listeners. Thank you for that selection, Pastor Beasley. In the King James, 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 10 reads, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Amen. I thank God for another perfect day, and I thank God for that scripture. It really just stood out to me today. God has prepared such a beautiful, such a beautiful life for us. We have to be the ones who activate it. So I want to thank him for opening up our eyes to spirituality and knowing that we're spiritual beings in a human experience. I want to thank God for this broadcast, for both our pastors who are so diligently obedient and persistent about getting the word out about the truth and to save our eternal life. Who cares about our life that much? Praise God for our pastors. We want to pray for those who are sick, for those who are shut in, for those who don't know they need prayer, and for those who ask us to keep them in prayer. And for those who can't pray on their own, we should pray for them. And let's also just not pray for the people we love. Let's pray for the people who need it. Maybe someone who's done something to you or enemies. Let's have a new mind, as Pastor Beasley say, and pray for everything that is good, as God would do. I want to thank God for awareness, spiritual awareness, and I pray that God will continue to lead this broadcast to where we can all continue to learn. I pray all this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Evangelist Sharon, for that beautiful prayer. I think I might have lost her. Okay, this week our review is dealing with living this new and living way. And part of living this new and living way is living by the Spirit. When you live by the Spirit, or you're living from the heart, you're living by what the Word of God says, because the Word and God is both Spirit. The Bible says in John 6:63, the words I say, they are Spirit and they are life. And I'm still trying to figure out how people live by the Spirit of God and they don't get in the Word of God. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But we talked about Monday. we talked about being restored in our spirit or in our heart. So when you get restored in your heart, you're restored in your spirit. So a lot of times you see out of the 2,080 times it talks about heart, it's talking about the spirit of a man. The word heart in the Hebrew literally means the spirit of the man. So when God is talking about our heart, you have to believe with your heart. He's talking about with your spirit, okay? So I just wanted to be clear with what we're talking about. I want to The Bible says where your treasure is, there is your heart be also. So that word heart there is spirit. We're not talking about that 4-inch muscle that's in your chest that pumps blood. That's one heart. But we're talking about your spirit man, okay? Your spirit man is your heart. The Bible calls it the hidden man of the heart. The hidden man of the heart is your spirit man. That's the, even though the outward man perish, the inward man is being renewed day by day. So the inward man is the spirit of a man. So that's what we're talking about restoring, okay? And when we talk about restore, we're talking about restoring back to the original, for a better way of saying. We're talking about getting eternally ready, brothers and sisters. We're talking about getting ready to face a true and living God. We're talking about restoring our spirit man, not the flesh, because the Bible says that the outward man perished, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. So what part is being renewed? The spirit man. That's what has to be restored. See, the word renew, restore, all of these is kind of like the same word. Recharge, you know, refresh, regenerate it. It's like you reconditioning. So what we're trying to do here in this new and living way is to get everybody thinking along the terms that God wants us to be restored back to what we were from the beginning. Well, what is that? I'm glad you asked. God made us in his image and after his likeness. Remember 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's been restored to the new man. So that's what we're talking about, restoring the new person, okay? And I'm going to ask Evangelist Sharon, Pastor Bell. She's running a little late. She sent me a text. She ran a little late. So let's start with our first foundational scriptures. I'll read it out of the King James and ask Evangelist Sharon, can you read out of the Messenger Bible? Are you available?
Yes, I am available.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Our foundational scripture this week is found in 1 Kings 4:4, I believe. So let's go there. I'll look at 9:4. Maybe it was 9:4. Y'all excuse me, I'm trying to get my notes together here. And 1 Kings 9:4 says, and if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked in integrity of the heart and in uprightness to do according to all that I have commanded thee, and will keep my stature and my judgment. Hallelujah.
And in the Messenger, 1 Kings 9:4 reads as follows. Okay. I've listened to and received all your prayers, your ever so passionate prayers. I've sanctified this temple that you have built. My name is stamped on it forever. Amen.
God expects for us to be faithful and walk in integrity. He expects for us to be faithful and in our spirit man, not in our mind, but in our spirit man. And once your mind is renewed on the word of God, then your spirit man will receive the word of God. Okay, I just want to throw that little bit in there. And the other foundational scripture we had were Psalms 25 and 21. So that's Psalms 25 and verse 21 out the King James Version. It reads thus. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee.
Amen. And the messenger reads, use all your skill to put me together. I wait to see your finished product. Amen.
And integrity, well, we want to be restored in integrity. Why? Why do we want to be restored in integrity? Because that's what God is. God and his word is one. That's how we contact God. We contact God through integrity. That's important, brothers and sisters, because a lot of times people want to go to God any kind of way. No, you have to go to God correct. You got to go to him based on his truth, based on his word, not on your truth, but on his word.
Amen.
And when you go that way, that's the way that God expects for us to believe. Integrity, perfection, nonstop with honesty and God. Why you say that? Because of Hebrews 4. See, sometimes people think they can just go to God any kind of way. God sees everything, man. He knows everything. I know I'm saying that, but you need to hear the word of God say that. So in Hebrews 4 and 12, I'm going to ask you, Pastor, if you'll read Hebrews 4 and 12 out of the King James Version, and that's Evangelist Sharon, if she'll read it out of the Messenger Bible.
Good afternoon, everyone. Hebrews 4 and verse 12 in the King James. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen.
Amen. And in the message, it reads as follows. God means what he says. What he says goes. His powerful word is sharp as a surgeon's scalpel, cutting through everything, whether doubt or defense, laying us open to listen and obey. Nothing and no one can resist God's word. Amen.
Amen.
So the word of God is in, that's integrity, brothers and sisters, because God operates in truth. God is alive. His word is alive. So when you get born again by the word of God, you just got born again by truth, by integrity. That's what God put in us, is integrity. But see, Satan sees that, and he don't want you to have that integrity because you've been born of the word.
Yes, say
not
that,
a corruptible
say that.
Seed, but of the incorruptible seed. Is that right?
Amen,
that
amen.
You didn't get born having a good time.
That's right.
I want to tell you, brother, sister, if the word of God hadn't convicted you that you need to be born again, well, then you need to get in there and stay in there until the word of God convict you that a natural man is judged by Satan. But the spirit man is judged by the spirit, which is of God, 1 Corinthians 2. So we've been convicted and convinced that righteousness shows that we are God's children.
Amen.
And not the devil's children, because we received his word. When you get born again, we are reacted. We're to react by the word of God. And we're to react on the word of God. we're to believe in it. See, a lot of people believe in Romans 10:9-10 says, if you'll confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, that word heart there is that same Hebrew word spirit, your heart, believe in your spirit, man, not that 4-inch fist-looking thing in your chest that pumps. No, not believe in that, but believe in your spirit. That need to be explained over and over to people understand. You got to believe in your spirit. Your spirit is what get born again. Your heart, as we know heart or use the word heart, is not, you don't, that don't get born again. Its function is to pump blood throughout the body. So when you see heart there, you got to really see that in the spirit that he's talking about the word of God. So when he's talking about the power of God's word in us is sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and the discerning of the thought and intent of the heart. That's the purpose of the word of God. Nothing can resist the word of God. And then he says that all things are naked before him. Everything open. You may not see it in the natural, but that doesn't mean it's not happening. So that's pretty much what we talked about this week. And so we're going to open it up. And there was a lot of things that I'm going to share, but I just wanted to open up the studio. So if anybody like to have anything to say, press 1, and we'll let you in. And also, by the way, I was talking to Minister Robinson this morning in Kentucky. And he's going through this process of restoring. And I told him that's what our lesson is about this week. It's about restoring. You want to be restored, brothers and sisters. And we're just going to open it up here in a moment. But I really want people to understand the importance of restoring, why we need to be restored. It's necessary that we be renewed. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, see, he's a new creature. You have to get in Christ. Christ means spirit, see? We're not operating under the old covenant. We're operating under the new covenant. That's why we have a new sanctuary, which is actually in heaven that God pitched and not man. That's now, because that's where we operate. We're part of this new and living way. So it's necessary that if you're going to be fresh, you got to get refreshed. Necessary.
All right.
Got to be a makeover. You got to be a reconditioning. So that's why God helped us to become new creation for the be in this new and living way. So so we're going to open it up, and then I will come back. Before we do that, I need to really do 1 Peter 1:23. If you'll read that, Pastor.
Amen, amen. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Amen.
Amen, amen. And that's 1 Peter 1:23. My computer's moving slow here, so bear with me, praise the Lord. Okay.
Okay.
Wow.
So I don't lose anybody. What we're talking about is being born again by the word of God, because that's how you become like God. It's when you get born again like God, and God is the word, and the word is God.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I apologize, Pastor. In the Messenger, it reads as follows. Your new life is not like your old life. Your old birth came from mortal sperm.
Your new birth comes from God's living word. Amen.
Yeah. See, so that's what I was trying to qualify. We talked about the living word in the book of Hebrews, and now it's telling us that we're to be born again. A lot of people talk about what they feel. Being born again has nothing to do with what you feel.
Mm-hmm.
Nowhere in the scripture does it teach about being feeling something. You don't feel nothing. It's just like with that mortal sperm, somebody felt something. But with this new birth, it comes from God's living word. So when that word get inside your spirit, man, boom, it happens. It's like when that sperm get in a woman, boom, it happens. You don't know the minute. Some people claim they do and all that good stuff, and that's good if you do. You know afterwards. That's for sure. I guarantee you, you're going to know afterwards. And it's the same thing with the word of God. You start living in that word, and that word starts living in you. That's how God got us. That's how we were begotten. We were begotten by the word of God, by the living word. Not a dead word, but the living word. It was rhema. It hit our spirit, man. Okay, I just wanted to tell that. And now the studio is open for anyone have any comments, anything that you'd like to share you got this week on anything, any parts of it.
Yes, I just want to piggyback on that scripture we just read. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. And it says, "For you have been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes from the eternal living word of God." Amen, amen.
Amen, amen. That's right. See, when you get born again, it's forever. We got to get that in our spirit. Get that in your mind. It's forever. You're not going to get born again. That's not going to happen. When you leave here, you will pass from life unto eternity. But you, there's no need to get born again. You won't even be judged again. No.
Amen.
Now, when you've been born again, not by the eternal word of God, there's no need. Because that's when we began to live our eternal life. A lot of people think it's over there. No, it's here. It starts here. This new and living way starts here, brothers and sisters. And it won't change. You're operating on a new covenant. See, people want us to operate like the old covenant. Now, the old covenant was all done in carving of stones and on tablets. But this new covenant, God put it in your spirit. That's what was prophesied, that he was going to put that word in your spirit or in your heart, same thing, in the inner man. And that's the truth, see? The old covenant, and we may talk about that next week, but the old covenant accepted human sacrifice. The new covenant requires spiritual sacrifices, okay? That would be the difference. He said in Hebrews 10, I think, I just love that scripture. I think it's 19 and 20, where it talks about having therefore brethren boldness to enter into the holy by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. We have a high priest, brothers and sisters, over the house of God. That's who we are.
Yeah. Amen.
We're God's temple now.
Yeah.
Stop looking at the building. Stop looking at the outward. That's flesh. God don't want us to know stuff after the flesh. He don't even want you to know Jesus after the flesh. We're to know everything going forward after the spirit. Okay, anyone else dealt with anything last week that we talked about that you would like to share?
Yes, Pastor, that's 1 Corinthians 11 and 22 and 23 that we shared last week. And I'd like to read that.
Okay.
See here, 22 and 23.
What was that second question?
It was 22 through 32. That's what it was. Okay. 1 Corinthians 11 chapter. Verses 22 through 32. I am not sure I got the 11th chapter. Okay. It reads, what? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not, for I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, and, I'm sorry, verse 29, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen, amen.
Amen. Evangelist Sharon, you want to read that at the messenger, or are you on?
Yes, Pastor. I got kicked off, but, yeah, I'm going to read it out the messenger. And it was 22 through 32, 1 Corinthians 11?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. I never would have believed you would stoop to this, and I'm not going to stand by and say nothing. Let me go over with you again exactly what goes on in the Lord's Supper and why it is so centrally important. I received my instructions from the Master himself and passed them on to you. The Master Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, took bread. Having given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, broken for you. Do this to remember me. After supper, he did the same thing with the cup. This cup is my blood. Excuse me. Computer is really okay. I'm going to start. Okay. This cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. Each time you drink this cup, remember me. What you must solemnly realize is that every time you eat this bread and every time you drink this cup, you reenact in your words and actions the death of the master. You will be drawn back to the meal again and again until the master returns. You must never let contempt. Anyone who eats the bread or drinks the cup of the master reverently is like part of the crowd that jeered and spit on him at the death. Is that the kind of remembrance you want to be a part of? Examine your motives. Test your heart. Come to this meal in holy awe. If you give no thought, or worse, don't care about the broken body of the master when you eat and drink, you're running the risk of serious consequences. That's why so many of you, even now, are listless and sick, and others have gone to an early grave. If we get this straight now, we won't have to be straightened out later on. Better to be confronted by the master now than to face a fiery confrontation later. Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, I want to, I don't know, Pastor, was there a point you wanted to make with that? Or that was just one of the scriptures we taught on Friday, I think.
Yes, Pastor, that it's a spiritual meal.
Correct.
That's what the message tells us. Let us know this is a spiritual meal, a love feast. And, you know, and I like that because it's spiritual.
Amen. Well, see, for those that may not know, in 1 Corinthians, I want to say 2, and we'll read 11 through, 15, 16. Because, see, if you try to understand this without understanding first spiritual things, you'll miss it. I promise you, you'll miss it. So without understanding that, hey, there's a difference, you'll miss what this scripture really is saying. So I like to use this for a base, if you will. So let's go to 1 Corinthians. So you have to rightly divide the word of truth, because if you don't, when I think about the world, how they've did the Lord's Supper, we need to be restored in that area because it should be spiritual and not carnal. But if they're not spiritual, or if a person not spiritual, they're not going to understand it's spiritual. So in 1 Corinthians 2, and let's read the 10th verse through the 15th verse, if you will, pass that to King James. Let's read to the 16th verse. Let's read from 1 Corinthians 2, the second chapter, 10 through the, you could go to the 9th verse. And read down through the 15th verse, 16th verse. 16 is fine.
Okay, Pastor. From the King James. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but that the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yea, he himself is judged of no man. Let me read that again. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? He may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay. In the Messenger, it reads as follows. The experts of our day haven't a clue about what his eternal plan is. If they had, they would have killed the master of the God designed life on a cross. That's why we have the scripture text. No one's ever seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything quite like it. What God has arranged for those who love him. But you've seen and heard it because God, by his Spirit, has brought it all out into the open before you. The Spirit, not content to sit around on the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. Whoever knows what you're thinking and planning except you yourself? He not only knows what he's thinking, but he lets us in on it. God offers a full report on the gifts of life and salvation that he is giving us. We don't have to rely on the world's guesses and opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus, and we're passing it on to you in the same firsthand personal way. The unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. Spirit can be known only by Spirit, God's Spirit, and our spirits in open communion. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Isaiah's question is, there anyone around who knows God's Spirit? Anyone who knows what he is doing has been answered. Christ knows, and we have Christ's Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. And a person that tried to understand 1 Corinthians 11 need to understand, first of all, you have to start seeing things through the eyes of the Spirit. The natural man is anyone that's not operating spiritual.
Correct.
See, that's what we're being restored back to, that spirit way of thinking, that spirit life. Because that's what God wants us. That's where he wants us. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. In John 11, I think it's John 4, 23, 24. God seeking us to worship him like that. That's how he wants us to worship him. That's his thing. I'm sorry. That's what he chose to do. See, worshiping God is to know God. And the only way you can know God is to know him through his word. The only way you can love God is to love him through his word. Because you can't love God through the optical nerve. You can't love God through your mind. You have to love God the way he said to love him. And if you love him, he said, you'll keep my commandment. And my Father and I will come unto you. A lot of people have never experienced the power of God because they don't love the word of God. See, once you experience the word of God, you'll experience the power of God. Then you're no longer operating in the natural, but you begin to operate in the spiritual. Then you will begin to compare spiritual things with spiritual. So that takes me to the fact that Jesus says, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. We've always, and we've been taught to do it as eating bread and soda crackers and all this, and drink wine, and they taught it from the flesh. This needs to be taught from the spirit.
Amen.
So hopefully, if we don't do it next week, we're going to do it. But I just want to say, what people don't understand what the Lord's Supper means. They need to understand that in the spirit, not in the flesh. Because we've been taught, oh, just symbolize the body of Christ. eat it. And then they want to do it the first of every month. God ain't told you to do that. He says as often as you do it. You can do it every day. The Catholics, they do it every time they open the door. So, but as often as you do this, you have to do it in remembrance. So, but you got to understand it spiritually and not in the flesh. People still celebrate like they did over there in Luke 20:22, where they were celebrating the Passover as a meal, as a celebration, and because they were delivered from Egypt. See, a lot of people don't even know why they had the Passover. But I like why some people don't know why they go to church, but they go.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't know God ain't never told them to go to church. He told them to be the church. See, and they ain't got that revelation yet. But when you become spiritual, when you become spiritual, there are going to be people that's not going to understand you.
Amen.
Because you're not operating in the flesh. I told the evangelist yesterday, people don't understand her because she's always operating in the spirit. She's doing things. God have delivered her from that mindset of operating in the flesh. She operated in the spirit. God tell her to give. She don't know. She just do it. Well, that's God to me, see, because that's what God operated in the spirit. Then we obey, and the more we obey, and the only way you can do that is to begin to understand the spiritual thing, because if you're not, the Bible says, but the natural man receives not the things of the spirit of God. They're foolishness to him.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, they ain't going to even understand it. So stop trying to get people to understand you. They ain't going to understand you. Because they're spiritually discerned. They're spiritually understood. And if they don't understand it through the spirit, which is the word of God, they got to get born again. The spirit man got to get born again so they can accept the spiritual thing.
Correct.
It won't work. And so that's another need for things to be restored. I could go on and on and on, but when Paul said concerning spiritual gift, for instance, he talked spiritual to the brethren. So a lot of times he was talking about Christ Jesus. He was talking about spiritual. When he searched the scripture, according to the Acts 19, when he searched the scripture daily to see if those things was true, that's when Paul got the revelation that we're to operate in the spirit, not in the flesh.
Amen.
We're to die. The old man is to die. So when Paul explained baptism, he explained it as we die out of the old man and living unto the new man. That's how he explained it. But people in the world want to explain baptism as something you need to do. No, and they want you to go in the water. There's nothing wrong with getting in the water. But if that's all you're going to do, you're going to go in a wet devil and come out a wet devil. You got to understand, there's something got to take place on the inside of you. And then that becomes a reality of what happens on the inside, you showing it on the outside. But it has to be taught spiritually.
Yeah. Amen, amen.
But one day we'll just teach on that, period. And there won't be a whole bunch of other stuff we'll be teaching on. We'll just be teaching on that at that day and time. But anyway, anyone else have anything else that would see it? Anything else this week that you want to bring forth?
We talked about abide in his love. And in order to do that, we have to be in the word. So I think the scripture, well, one of the scriptures we have was, we read James 1, verses 18 through 22. Mm-hmm. Well, let me get there to James here. And I'll read that scripture. Because it's also in John 2 where it tells us we are to abide. John 15 and verse 4. Okay, but we're going to read James 1, verses 18 through 22. Okay, 18 through 22. It says, King James, of his own will begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of meekness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Amen.
Amen, amen. And then the messenger reads, there is nothing deceitful in God, nothing two-faced, nothing fickle. He brought us to life using the true word, showing us off as the crown of all his creatures. And it's titled, Act on What You Hear. Post this at all the intersections. Dear friends, lead with your ears, follow up with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. God's righteousness doesn't grow from human anger. So throw it all, spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener, God, landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. Don't fool yourself into thinking that you are a listener when you are anything, letting the word go in one ear and out of the other. Act on what you hear. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. So that comes to where we have to abide in the word. Amen. And that's, I like to read it out of the New Living Translation, verses 18 through 22. Okay. He chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and accept the word of God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. Amen, amen.
Amen. That's a great scripture, because if you don't do anything, you don't act on it, it won't work for you. It's just an idea or a theory in your mind. You won't know if it's operational or not. It's like if you get a credit card, if you don't activate it, you won't be able to utilize it. You won't be able
That's
to swipe
right.
it. You have to activate it. So
mm-hmm.
I just want to say that we should take time, like Pastor said, and
put God first. We renovate our cars, we renovate, we get new makeup, we get new hairstyles, we renovate our houses, our homes, we get new rugs and carpets and furniture. So we have to renovate or renew our minds spiritually so that we can be resourceful what God is offering us, because we can't use it if we don't activate it, and we have to do something to activate it, and that's to act on God's word. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Like John says, we have the word. Amen. Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah, a person has to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And then he says, see, this is stuff that we have to do. That's what she was talking about, activate. We have to activate this stuff. And then he explained for what you see man do, that's not God's righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
God's righteousness starts with laying apart all filthiness, superfluity, of knottedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. That word has to be engrafted in your spirit, man. See, this is stuff we have to do before we even activate that word, because that's part of the activation right there. When you began to do that, that's part of the activation. I like her, how she used that word, activate. That's how you began to activate. You began just like a card. You have to swipe it. You may have to call a number. These are things you have to do before it'll work. So it is with the word of God. If you don't live apart filthiness, superfluity, knottedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, that's another thing. A lot of times people don't even receive the word of God with meekness. See, all of that stuff there can stop the word of God to be being active in your life. And you will never be a doer of it. And you can only deceive yourself. And you can't blame that on nobody.
That's right.
So he tells us to remember this. Remember, let's be quick to listen. Ain't no harm in listening.
Amen.
And then be real slow to have revenge on things.
That's right.
But just flow to wrath, you know, before you doom or condemn something. For the wrath of man working not the righteousness of God. God may want you to do it differently. But because you're going to put your wrath on it, then the word of God can never be activated in your life properly or like it should be or like it could be. So until we put all this stuff away and become spiritual, and thank you for that, Pastor.
Amen.
And thank you, Jalen, for the comment. Anybody else? Hallelujah.
Yes, Pastor. I just wanted to say the more that we take in the Word of God spiritually, it will depreciate all the ill feelings, the anger, all the negativity, the jealousy, the revenge. It will, they can't live in the same space. So one cancels out the other. So if you're being quick to anger, you don't have, you're not actually living on the word of God. You know it, you can recite it, but you're not living on it, because you wouldn't want revenge, because that's not the word of God. So the more that you bring in the word of God, the more the negativity will go out, the revenge, the anger, the hostility, the haterism, the whatever is negative, it will depreciate the more of the word of God you get. Amen.
You're absolutely right. And that comes from what Pastor said on the other week. We got to live in love, brothers and sisters, all the time. You can't pick the time you want to love. You got to love all the time. And I'm learning something else. I'm learning even when you're wrong, you got to love. You got to love your way through it.
Yeah. You have to make it a practice. Be conscious, aware of it. You know, if you just go on your busy day, a routine, you know, that's not
being godlike, you know. You get up, you brush your teeth, you're not conscious of what you're doing. You're just repeating it. It's something that's repetitive. And that's what happens with churches and synagogues and stuff like that. They're just repeating history over and over again with rituals. They're not actually doing what needs to be done spiritually. They're doing the rituals of their ancestors. They're bowing down, they're taking in the communion, they're donating money, they're cooking chicken dinners, they're doing everything that they've seen previously. Instead of being spiritual and trying to be personally in touch with God, they're just following rituals and rules. Amen.
Amen, amen. And I know, Pastor, you talked about the integrity, and I had looked that up, brought that out, but it, you did, when you said it, it was right in the definition where it says the quality of being honest and fair, and it also said the state of being complete and whole. So that's more reason for us to have God's word, and that we can study his word and allow that word to be in us. So, yes. As I said, the quality of being honest and fair.
Yeah. Here, and you're absolutely right, Pastor. A lot of times people, they want to have their way and not integrity way. But if you're going to live in integrity, it starts with the word of God, because that's where the source, that's the source of integrity, is in the word of God. So you're going to be honest. God starts with being honest. God starts with being fair. You know, that's what this is about. When I think about we got to let integrity dwell in us. When you let the word of God dwell in you, you're allowing integrity to dwell in you.
Amen.
And integrity, it has to be of the heart. It has to be of the spirit. So, like you said, in that honesty, you said something a moment ago that just really explain what the word integrity is. Can you go over that one more time? You said the quality of being honest, right?
Correct.
Yes. Yeah, the quality of being honest and fair. And the state.
And I think it starts with yourself first. Go ahead, Pastor.
That's right. Amen. That's right. It has to. Amen. And then it says the state of being complete and whole.
That's when we begin to put on that incorruptible. Because when you're dishonest, you're corrupt. If that makes sense.
Yes,
so that's why you want to put on the word of God so you can be honest. Unless you really begin to live in the word of God, or live in integrity. Like I said, it starts with God. But there's some people, they don't even have a conscience to it. They're not even aware that integrity exists. They try to live based on what grandmama taught them, based on what granddaddy, or they seen this preacher do, or they seen auntie do this. A lot of people live in that area. But I'm going to tell you, you have to grab a hold to integrity firmly. I mean, you got to grab that thing. And everything you compare it with, let it be with the word of God. Let your integrity be compared with the word of God. Because if not, you'll get into a self-delusion. And you're going to deceive your own self because I'm right on this. I'm right. Well, wait a minute. What determined you're right?
Amen.
You know, once something loses integrity, it have lost the highest part of it. And I don't care if it's a
a couch, a car, or a song. It doesn't matter. Once and that same thing with a human being. Once a person, you have lost that integrity with the person, it has to be repaired. It has to be replaced. It has to be replenished. And it starts with you.
Mm-hmm.
That way you get back in touch with God.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen.
And I still say it's just not enough to admire things. It's just not enough to go, woo, 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 that's great. The word of God is great. No, it becomes great when you act on it, when you do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it's
clear. Yeah. Amen.
Because it has a lot to do with character, has a lot to do with goodness, honesty, morality. It has a lot to do with righteousness. Just do the right thing. I mean, if you don't live in that, you're going to live out of that. So that means your character can't be dependent on you. What I've seen, I said this on the other day too. A lot of times people don't realize, but people are looking at our character.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, they're looking at your character. And based on that, they'll determine where your integrity lies.
So that's
why I was saying the other day, it was necessary for us to develop. People be saying, oh, well, why, how can you? You have to develop integrity.
That's right. Amen.
Think about it. If you were God, what would you do? It, being God, being the highest level of integrity, would God do that to me? Would God not share that with me? Would God beat me up for that? See, you got to know that there is a Satan. So sometimes you got to constantly remind yourself that Satan is the father of liars. So when you begin to lie, you go, oh, that's right, man. That's Satan. Satan became your father, John 8:44. Integrity is who God is.
Yes.
Integrity is.
Mm-hmm.
We're to live at the highest level of honesty, the highest level of righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Righteousness.
Yes.
And it's unfortunate, Pastor, that we lose it early on because children at 3, when they learn how to talk, they learn how to be deceitful, to lie, and to get what they want. It becomes with your desire or putting God first. But as a child, they don't know any better. But as adults, we do. Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Well, you know, most of what children and you and I, someone taught that stuff to us. So that's why the need to be restored. That's the need for being born again. Because we got a lot of foolishness that been taught to us we shouldn't have in us. But that's dishonesty. Oh, well, you know what? I'll tell this little white lie. Won't nobody know it. No, it's a lie.
It's blatantly and subliminally.
So when you get through dressing it up, it's just a dressed-up lie.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, it's a lie with clothes on it. It's a lie that has eyeglasses with it. It's a lie that has shoes on it. It's just a dressed-up lie.
All right, now. Amen.
I have devoured and devoted and to say, you know what? Every chance I get, I'm going to be slow to speak. I'm going to be swift to listen now, but I'm going to be slow to speak. Why? Because I want to tell the truth about everything. I don't want to fix it up now because some people, they dishonest. They're, well, how he don't know this or how she going to know that or if I add this, I'm not really lying. Come on now. Mm-hmm. I just told you who the father of it. That's what Satan does.
Mm-hmm.
He fixes it.
Yep.
He makes the truth sound like a lie.
Mm-hmm.
He twists it. And you know what the
yeah.
Bible calls it? It calls it wickedness.
Mm-hmm.
Immorality. All of that is just bad habits, badness, evil doing. That's like evil doing to me. That's when you, a person practicing that. I'm not, listen, brothers and sisters, I know the first thing probably comes to your mind, you never, yeah, but that's not what I'm practicing now. I'm practicing and I'm trying to develop, this is what I'm developing, integrity. I want it on my job. I want it when I go to the store. If I see some money laying down there, I want to pick it up and say, here, sir, here's your money. The money fell out the day. And, I mean, you never know what camera's looking at you. You never know. But when you want to walk in integrity, especially when you make that decision, that, man, that's like God like that, you want to start getting yourself fit. So you have to start practicing that. That's something you exercise. That's something you do. I ain't lying to Pastor. I'm just going to tell you the truth. You ask me, and I ain't going to try to fix it up. It is what it is. You have to deal with it. Now, I can't control your mind. I was talking to a young man yesterday. He was asking me if I thought he was walking out of integrity because he was trying to talk to this girl. So I told him no. Just tell her the truth.
Amen.
See, a lot of times people think when a person is telling them what they like to do or their lifestyle, yada, 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 that's that person's, that's what's on that person's heart. That's what's on that person's mind. That doesn't mean they don't have integrity. They're just simply telling you what they like to do, whatever that is. It can be whatever. But if they being honest with you, honesty is part of integrity.
Yeah.
Now, I can't help because they don't know how to respond to it. I can't help because they don't see it like that. The devil may have them corrupt to wherein they don't understand honesty. You know, sometimes people can be in their ways, so set in their ways through life until good look bad to them. And bad look good to them. They don't know what their character. They don't know what goodness is. And I know all of us sometimes been done wrong and this, that, and the other. That person may have been out of operating out of integrity. They may not been in integrity. But were they honest at first? Yes. Were they good at first? Yes. But we can work our way out of integrity, so that's the need of being restored. It goes right back to what I was saying. That's the need we need to, that's the reason we need to be restored. That's it right there.
Integrity
starts with God. And you're right. We were developing that. And the way you really develop, and we may just start talking about that tomorrow, the way you develop integrity, you put the word of God first. You have to make that decision that you're going to live by the word, you're going to live by love, you're going to live by faith. You're going to always put the word of God first.
Amen.
It's not predicated. That's why I go back to Evangelist Renee. Boy, I probably every day talk about that woman.
That's all right, yeah. That's all right. Amen.
But I think about how she put the word of God first for her healing. No one else could see that, but she saw it. I know we're running way over, brothers and sisters, but it's all good. It's all good. Anybody else like to have anything to say, press 1 and we'll, I'd like to comment on anything, you're more than welcome.
Amen.
God, I love you.
Hallelujah.
Praise God, praise God.
Anyone
Beautiful.
Else? Anyone else? Okay, Pastor, but was there another scripture you want to share?
Let me see here. You know me, I always got some scriptures, Pastor.
Oh, praise God. That's
praise
God. God. You're acting like David. David said, I hid the word of God in my heart that I'll not sin against him. That's right. You got to keep the word of God. There's a word that I was thinking of last week. I got to think of this word. But what it means is you have to keep it reverent. You have to keep the word of God up to date in your life all the time. It has to be. Yeah. I don't know why I'm not thinking of that word, but I'll have it for you all tomorrow. But it's an awesome word. And God had told me, said, that's how we got to keep the word of God. And in Joshua 1 and 8, that's what it says to do. We need to abide in the word of God day and night, brothers and sisters. Day and night.
Yeah.
Night and day. Yeah. Two times.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Well, we also shared another scripture that was John 14, verses 21 through 23. John 14, 21 through 23. And in the King James it reads, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and will come unto him and make our abode with him. Amen.
Amen, amen. And the messenger, the person who knows my commandments and keeps them, that's who loves me. And the person who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and make myself plain to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said, Master, why is it that you are about to make yourself plain to us, but not to the world? Because a loveless world, said Jesus, is a sightless world. If anyone loves me, he will carefully keep my word, and my Father will love him, will move right into the neighborhood. Not loving me means not keeping my words. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. Yeah, that integrity
amen.
Is. Mm-hmm. I said that there the integrity is.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the scriptures under our integrity lesson. Uh-huh. Amen.
See, people, they got their will wanting to do things. But God said, if you love me, now, you know, you may not love God. You may think you love God. It may be in your head. Grandmama might have told you, or auntie might have told you, if you go to church, then you love God. If you say your prayers, you love God. Well, that doesn't necessarily have to be true when you're talking about integrity. Integrity says, he that have my commandment and keep them, that's that person that loves me. And the commandment means the word of God. If you have the word of God, that means you love God when you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Not just have the word of God, but when you're doing the word of God. Now, that's the total man. That's why the total man has to be restored.
Amen.
Then God said, okay, here's how you're going to know it. Because I'm going to manifest myself to you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus and the Father does. Once you begin to operate in that word and at that level of integrity, then God comes into your life and he makes himself known with you. He set up residence. He makes his abode with you. That's what he started doing. He started hanging out with you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
That's why I'm not lonely, because I know that he's hanging out with me.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on the back porch. Yeah, out there with him. I was watching football all day yesterday, and the Lord said, now, everything be thankful. I was just thinking. And somebody else might have not looked at it that way, but my teams was winning. I said, thank you. I'm not saying God had anything to do with it, but I knew he was with me. So I was saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
That's right.
He said, he that loves me not, keep not my saying. And the word which you hear is not mine. See, we can hear some stuff, and it's not necessary the Father. It's not necessary God. But when you start hearing, the Bible says, in everything give thanks. So I just start thanking God for his word. I was talking about the difference between living in Christ and living in Jesus. As long as a person lives in Jesus, they live in the flesh. And you got to be governed by the flesh. And you will be ruled by the flesh. And that's not integrity. Not with God. Integrity with God is living in Christ. Because that's what he gave us to live in. It's Christ.
Amen. Yeah.
But anyone else? So we did John 15:10, right, Pastor?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I can read that. Amen.
Okay.
John 15:10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. And the messenger reads, if you keep my commandments, you'll remain intimately at home in my love. That's what I've done. Kept my Father's commandments and made myself at home in his love. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
See, his love is his word. You know, don't tell me you loving God and you can't love his word. You're lying. That's a lie. That's not integrity. That's Satan's stuff. See, Satan know how to quote the word of God. He remember the old word, but he have no idea of the new word because he don't have revelation. He don't have revelation. And for that to be fluent, that's that word, fluid. See, it has to be fluid. It has to be what's going on right now. God get rid of the old and put the new stuff. That's part of revelation. It's fluid. See, when something is fluid, that means it's going on right now. You know, I bring that to y'all tomorrow. But that's part of what God expects out of us. To be fluid with the word of God, okay? And when you're fluid with the word of God, you're capable of being subject to the Holy Spirit. But if you're not fluid with the word of God, you're not capable. You can't be moved easy. So, well, you know, I shouldn't. But when your Holy Ghost is guiding you and leading you, you should be able to move as the Spirit lead you.
Yes. Amen.
You're able to yield to the Holy Spirit. But when you're stubborn, you can't yield to the Holy Spirit. You can't yield to his word. You can't practice his word because you're stuck on stupid.
All right now.
Yeah, you step on. Yeah, see, so when you read 1 Corinthians 2, you'll see that. Yeah, they'll never understand the word of God. It's foolishness to them because they're not fluid. But once you fluid, you know, you you're able to obey God. It's sort of like you can move around in his word. You can do what he tells you. You don't have a problem with obeying. You don't have a problem when pressure comes. You ready to do whatever God say to do. If he tell you go to the right, you go to the right. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that was something I was messing with the other day. But you're capable of moving like liquid. You know, you can, you'll move around. You'll do what the Spirit say.
Mm-hmm.
So you can be one thing today and you'll be that same because you're getting revelation knowledge. Because, you know, some people that the mindset, well, you know, God the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're absolutely right because he is love today, tomorrow, and forever. You can move around in love.
Yeah.
You operate in love. Love
mm-hmm.
say to help.
Yeah,
because love said to do it. You're not operating in evil. You're not doing it because flesh say to do it. You're doing
mm-hmm.
it because the word of God tells you to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see no evil. You don't think evil. You don't operate there. That ain't where you operate at.
Say that.
Yeah, you don't have, I mean, you know, and I'm not talking about just speaking through the, I'm talking about speaking spiritually, brothers and sisters.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
You learn that God's way will never fail. You learn that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all this other stuff is gonna fade away one day. Integrity in the word of God will never fail.
Amen.
And let me tell you something else. It's gonna always be alive. It's gonna always
Amen.
Be fluid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Because God is always moving. And the things of God is always moving. You ever notice how the winter changed from winter to, I guess you would say, spring and spring
mm-hmm.
to summer to fall. I mean, you look at flowers. You look at the water. God's stuff always moves.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Now, you'd be surprised. God's stuff always, even with your skin.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's made out of the God material stuff that you can't see, that God put in it. So you close up a hole, you open up a hole in your ear and leave it open, it's going to grow back together. Because that's God's stuff always moving.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Anyway,
I'll
thank you guys. And, anybody else have anything else they want to share? I heard somebody say something. Hello? Is that you, Evangelist Sharon?
No, Pastor, that wasn't me.
Okay. All right. If nothing else, we appreciate everybody, and thank you all for staying overtime today. You know, every now and then we give God that extra. So,
Amen.
Meanwhile, and we'll see.